We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tavi ben Menachemish and Chaim Yacham Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Bava Kama, Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav. Gates sheyotza bitachas hapatish v'hizdik, a spark that flew out from underneath the hammer. Blacksmith is banging the hammer, now a spark, let's say, flies out. Chayav, he's going to be chayav. This is no different than shooting an arrow. He should have kept the hammer in his, close the store to his shop, make sure that nothing is flying out and no sparks damage anyone. Gamal shahayaton pishton v'arab rishusarabim. Maybe if someone has a camel and it's laden with flax, and the flax is like perpendicular to the camel. It's sticking out on either side. The load is sticking out either side. And the camel's walking through a public domain. V'nichnas pishtanu l'sochechanus. And some of the flax, which is sticking off the animal to the side, ends up entering one of the stores on the side of the Rishus HaRabim. V'dalku b'neiro shel chenvani. And the storekeeper had a candle there that was lit, and the flax lit on fire. And that caused a tower, literally a building, to light on fire. So says the Mishnah, Baal HaGamal Chayev, the owner of the camel is Chayev. He overloaded the camel. That was considered negligence on his part. And this is similar to, if you remember in the Perek Bey's Mishnah Gimel, we spoke about a dog. And the dog took the charara, the burning cake, and lit a stack of wheat on fire. So we said that the owner of the dog has to pay Nezek Shalem, but only Nezek Shalem for the area where the dog put down that fiery cake. But the rest of the stack, he only pays Chatzin Nezek because that's considered Tsroros. Tsroros, you may remember, the wit beginning of Tsroros is a told to the subcategory of Regel. It's a halacha Moshe Misinai that you pay Chatzin Nezek, no rhyme, no reason. But Tsroros is literally pebbles. The classic case of Tsroros is where there's indirect damage when an animal is walking and trampling, and then rocks or little pebbles fly up because he's walking and he kicks them by accident, and they fly up and cause damage, break someone's window. For that, you pay Chatzin Nezek. So the same thing would be true. A person's dog takes this cake and he eats the cake, but he also burns something. So he burns the stack. Only the area where you place the burning coal or the burning cake down is a Chayv Nezek Shalom. The rest that burns because of it, because of placing that down, is indirect, is Tsroros, and you only pay Chatzin Nezek. So the same thing here as well. The owner of the camel is Chayv for the Bira only if the entire Bira, tower or building, whatever, lit on fire at the same time. So, but if not, so then if it lit, one section lit on fire, and then eventually it spreads, as it typically does, he pays only Nezek Shalem for that area itself that ignited, and then the rest that ignited on his own, he's going to be Chayv Chatzin Nezek. This is based on the fact, when we spoke about Eish a little bit, the Gemara has a machlok, Zatin Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, whether Eish of Mishum Chitzav, or Esho Mishum Mamono. When we say, what's the nature of the obligation for paying for Esh? For after all, the wind takes it a little bit and it goes on its own. Is it that we view it as your arrow? Or do we say, no, it's like your property, no different than your animal? Here we'd have to say, if you hold Esho Mishum Chitzav, we would say, okay, well, we consider the spot, the fire that spread from the Pishton, from the camel, from the pishtun on the camel to the building, or at least the beginning of the building, where it ignited the first time, is like it's from the camel, the power of the camel, it's coming from him, Esom Mishim Chitzav, and that's considered like shooting an arrow as well. Then the Mishnah says, Yiniya Chenvani Nero Mibachutz. Let's say the Chenvani, the shopkeeper, had his candle outside, and now the camel passes by, and the flax catches fire and ignites a tower or building. Ha Chenvani Chayev. Here, the Chenvani is, now obviously if it's the Chenvani's Bira itself, there's no issue. But if it's the Chenvani's candle that lit the flax on fire, now the flax lit some building on fire, that's the Chenvani's problem. Because it was his fire that was the problem, and he should not have had his fire, his candle, outside. Having it inside is one thing. So that's why in the first case, the owner of the camel's chayev. But having the candle outside, it doesn't belong outside. And then Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bener Chanukah, Pater, Rabbi Yehuda, Chachamim disagree with this, but Rabbi Yehuda believes that a Ner Chanukah, which on one of the nights of Chanukah, the Chenvani, the shopkeeper, had his candle outside, then he will be potter from any liability of the damages caused by this fire. And that's because it's a mitzvah to put the candle outside. With Pesach mi beiso, beiso mi bachutz, and he's supposed to be, the camel is very, very tall, but he couldn't put his candle any higher than the camel. It has to be, we typically put a ten tefachim from the ground. It certainly can't be higher than 20 amos. So we had to keep it within reason, so be able to see the candle. As we know, that's the halacha, to have the candle outside, and so that people can see, and it shouldn't be too high. So therefore, it's on the night of Chanukah, it's the owner of the camel's responsibility to watch out for his flax, because there may be candles outside. The Chachamim disagree, and they say even when it comes to Chanukah lights, the owner of the camel is chayiv, because the owner of the candle is chayiv. You'll say, why you chayiv? He's allowed to put it outside. Yeah, you can put your candle outside, but you have to guard it. Now, as you may remember, we spoke about running on Friday, running late Friday afternoon or Friday evening, where we say that one person's walking, one person's running. The person who's running generally is chayav if you cause injury to the person who's walking, because that's considered being mishaneh, changing from the normal manner, but not late on Friday afternoon. Then he's going to be putter. Everyone's going to be putter there because they bang into each other, and the person had the right to run. So there, I thought, if he had the right to run, so why would we say... And that's a mitzvah. I have the right to put my candle outside. That's also a mitzvah. Why would the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? So the answer is no, the cases are different. When you're running, you can't be 100% careful. That's just the way it is. And if we give you permission to run, there's a possibility you may run into someone else. You light a candle. If you stand in guard at the candle, you should be fine. Now, Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees and says, no, this is a mitzvah. You have the right to put the candle out. And it's not the Chenvani's responsibility for the fire in this case, because maybe it's the owner of the camel in this case, because it's Hanukkah. You have to know people leave the candles outside. You may remember we spoke about pouring water outside into Rosh Hashanah. So that I'm allowed to do. So there we said I'm allowed to do that. If someone slips on it, I have to pay. So why can't we say the same thing when it comes to the candle? I'm allowed to put the candle outside, but if someone gets something's damaged by it, then it's my responsibility. So the answer is, that's permission in the case of pouring water outside in the winter, because the water is overflowing. But if someone slips, I have to pay for it. But this is a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda would say a mitzvah that I'm surely allowed to put outside. And if there's any damage because of it, that is not my responsibility. And of course, the Chachamim disagree. We begin the seventh parak. Meruba midas tashlume kefel mimidas tashlume arba'a v'chamisha. A little background. Torah speaks, teaches us in Parshas Mishpatim about two payments. One is called kefir ganav. One is called kefel, where you pay double, and one is called dalet v'hei or arba'a v'chamisha, four or five times. So the Torah says that if a person is a ganav, ganav means he steals something in secret. So a goslin pays the keren, just the principal. Ganav, who is more afraid of man than Hashem, he pays double, he pays kefel. So that's if he steals. If you steal something, the Torah says, and you shecht it, or you steal something and you sell it, what we call tevicha, which is shechting, or mechira, which is selling. So I have geneva, and then tevicha u'mechira along with it. So the halacha is that if it's a sheep that you stole and shechted or sold, you pay four times the value. And if you'd say, if it's an ox, a shore, you pay five times the value. Why the difference? The Gemara says, well, one possibility is that the ox actually can do work. So that you're going to pay more for, or maybe when it comes to the seh, you're going to pay less because you have to slip. The person who stole the seh has to schlep it anyway. That's a little bit embarrassing. So already you paid a little bit with your embarrassment. Either way, the Torah says you pay four or five times four for a seh and five for an ox. This is where it was stolen. And then it was shechted or sold. We assume that the four or five times includes the kefil. So what you're really paying for the seh is the geneva is already the kefil, and then you're paying two more times, two plus two. And when it comes to the ox, So the ox, which is 5 times, is really the kefel plus 3. So that's how, again, that would be important, as we'll see in a little bit. Meruba midas tashlume kefel mimuya tashlume bachamisha. What the Mishnah is coming to tell you is that when it comes to kefel is going to, will end up seeing that you end up paying in more instances than you would 4 or 5 times. How so? She midas tashlume kefel noheges be midavar sheyesh baruachayim uve midavar shein baruachayim. When it comes to payment of kefel, that applies whether you stole your aganov on something that's alive, sheyesh baruachayim, like an animal, or even a davar shein baruachayim. You steal something else, you have to pay kefel. You steal a person's object, you have to pay. You steal their phone, you have to pay kefel. Whatever it is, you have to pay double whatever it is, even if it's not alive. But umidas tashlume kefel, no, tashlume avachamisha rather, ainu noheges el b'shova seblevat. But dal v'hei only applies to shor nesesh and amar. The Mishnah tells you the pasuk shmos chafalef pasuk lamin zayin ki gnov ish sor o shor ose utvacho o mechoro. Person steals a shor or ose, any slaughters it or sells it v'gomer etc. And the pasuk continues. It says. You're paying chamisha bakar yishalem tachas chamisha bakar yishalem tachas ashor v'arbatzon tachas aseh. So you see that, what do I learn from here? It says ki ignore shor ish shor oseh, and the pasuk does this. It says instead of the pasuk could have said the following: ki ignove ish shor. Utvacho mechoro chamisha bakar yishalem tachtov v'arbatzon tachas aseh. We could have had a shorthand. That's what the pasuk could have said. So by the fact that the Torah said shor and seh, meaning the Torah could have just started out with shor. You take a shor and you shecht it or you sell it. You pay 5 times a tachtov in its place. And 4, then we could have thrown in v'arbatzon tachas aseh. And if it were seh, it would be 4. No, the fact that it says ki gnov ish shor oseh, the fact that we want to mention them, and we mention them twice, for a shor oseh, and then you say again, chamisha bakar yisham tachas ashor, v'arbatzon tachas aseh, that's there to teach you that it's shor and seh dafka, only those animals, and none other. So it's not only that it's ruachayim, that it's alive, but that dalvehe applies, but only to a shor oseh, not any other animal. 4 for a seh and 5 for a shor. When it comes to kefil, though, even on not only on shor and a seh, you pay, but you're going to pay if you steal it. You're going to pay kefil on another animal, and you pay kefil in on a non-animals, because the pasuk says in Shmos Chav Peis Parsuches al kol devar pesha al shor al chamor al seh al salma. On the list is shor and a chamor, seh and a salma, even clothing. Ishalei mishnayim l'rei, you pay kefil. Then the Mishnah says, "Ein hagonev achar aganav mishalem tashlume kefil." Person who steals from a ganav, meaning you have Reuven stole. Let's say Shimon stole an animal from Levi. Shimon stole an animal from Reuven, and now Levi. So Shimon's a ganav. And now, when he should have to pay kefil, Levi now steals that same animal from, that was Reuven's animal, he steals from Shimon. He does not pay kefil, doesn't pay kefil to the owner, and he doesn't pay kefil to the first ganav. Because the pasuk says, v'gunav mibeis ha'ish, when you pay kefil, when you pay double, v'gunav mibeis ha'ish, when somebody is stolen from the place of the ish, of the owner, mibeis ha'ish, we learn, v'lo mibeis ha'ganav, stealing from the ganav, obviously you have to return the object, but you do not have to pay kefil. You'll say, but the object that you stole belongs to the original owner. Yeah, but you did not steal from his rishus, so you don't pay kefil. And you don't pay kefil to the first ganav, because the kefil, the object, is not his. And even if the owner gave up hope, you'll say, well, the owner gave up. If Reuven gave up hope, he was miyayesh. So now this becomes whose? This is, that means it's the first ganav. So maybe we should say that there should be, he should have acquired the object, but because of yeush. So maybe you would say, well, now it's really he becomes the new owner of that first Ghana because the first owner because the Baal gave up hope. That doesn't work because Yish alone, just giving up hope, just despairing on an object, does not make it a Kenyan, does not cause acquisition. You need an addition to that Shini Rishus. There's no Shini Rishus. Shini Rishus has to change domains ownership. That's only true if something's sold or something's given to someone as a gift. So since even if there was Yish Baal, I mean, if the original owner gave up hope, it would not be acquired by the first Ganov, so that the second Ganov would have to pay kefil to the first Ganov because there was no Shini Rishus along with the kefil. Then the Mishnah says, not only if you're a Goan Evach or a Ganov, do not pay kefil, but Velo HaToveach Velo HaMocher Achar a Ganov Mishlam Tashmi Abba Vachamisha, which means here you have a case where where Shimon stole Ruvain's ox, let's say, and now Levi steals that ox from Shimon. So, and what did he do? He takes that stolen animal and he shechts it or he sells it. So Levi is not paying dalav the hay. Why is he not paying dalav the hay? Well, if he takes that animal, you told me he's not chayiv kefil. So if you're not chayiv kefil, it can't be chayiv dalav the hay. Automatically so. If Levi can't be chayiv kefil for stealing the animal from a ganav, from Shimon who was already a ganav, he automatically can't be chayiv dalav the hay for slaughtering or selling that animal. Because, as we said in the introduction, the dalav the hay is really includes the kefil. The four you pay for a seh is really the kefil plus two, and the five you pay for an ox is really the kefil plus three. So if there's ain, if you don't have kefil, you don't have arba'a v'chamisha.